We're in the middle of this series called Fulfilling Your Life's Mission. Obviously, you saw it on the screen. And if you're just catching up with us, or maybe you've missed a Sunday since we've started, week one was on about encountering God, that we have to, in order to fulfill our life's mission, we have to have an encounter with God because He's the one that ultimately gives us that mission. And then week two, Pastor talked about engaging with others, that you and I, we cannot do life alone. If we try to do life alone, it's going to be a very lonely place. And we talked about connect groups. And so in your worship guide this morning, when you came in the worship guide is a list of our connect groups. So go ahead and pull those out, take a look at them. We have about 20, 21 groups. And really, for a church our size, we need right around 70 groups. So let me just encourage you, if there's a group that you don't see on here, or maybe one doesn't fit you and you have an idea for a group, shoot me an email. We'll find a way to make that happen next time, or maybe even squeeze it in right now. And so how you're going to sign up for these groups, instead of doing tables, you're just going to go to our website, loveandtruthchurch.com/groups. It's got all the groups listed there. It's got information about the groups. And then you're going to email the contact host, the group host for that group, and they're going to follow up when the next group time is going to meet. Let me just encourage you. It's a great way to meet people. Okay, with a church this size, it's really hard to get to know people just by looking at the back of their head. Go ahead and look at the person in front of you, right? Some of you have eyes in the back of your heads, right? Especially if you're a mom or dad, that could be weird. Don't stare back at them, okay? So let me just encourage you, go sign up for a group. If there's not one that you want to be a part of, get with me and we'll find one for you to be a part of, or help you create that one. And then last week, we talked about enriching my life, enriching your life, that one of the most enriching things that you can do for your life and even for the lives of those around you is get to a place where you're committed to a local church. Because when you're committed to a local church, lots of great things happen. You grow spiritually, culture changes, you change lives in this area. And so let me just encourage you to do that. Growth Track 301 is taking place at the 11 o'clock service this afternoon. So if you're here and want to go, stick around, drink some more coffee, and then go to Growth Track. It's going to be awesome. So today, though, we want to talk about being empowered to serve. Say empowered. Empowered. And that's kind of a weird word in that means that you have permission and you've been given the strength to do something. And one of the things we see over and over and over and over when Jesus is leading his disciples and he is training the disciples, he's talking a whole lot about what it means to serve. And we see at one point in Matthew 23:11, the scripture will be on the screen, that he says, if you are to be great, you must be what? What do you have to be? A servant. The greatest among you must first be a servant. And this just isn't the first time we see or hear Jesus saying this. He says it over and over and over and over. As a matter of fact, one of the passages that I love where he says this is in Mark chapter 9. And this is right after the disciples had tried to cast a demon out of a boy, and they couldn't do it. And so the father brings the little boy to Jesus and says, I brought the boy to your disciples and they couldn't do it. And Jesus got a little frustrated. He says, how much longer do I have to be with you guys? Come on. You've seen me do this. I've empowered you to do this. And that's when he says, some things can only happen through prayer and fasting. So after this, though, they're traveling and Jesus is ahead of the pack and they're walking down the road and they get to this place called Capernaum. And Jesus asks the guys, he's like, hey, what were you guys talking about back there? And what's funny is you read the next line, it says they were afraid to tell Jesus because they were arguing over who was the greatest. And so think about what just happened. They couldn't perform a healing on this boy, and so they're arguing over who's the greatest. And then Jesus says, what are y'all talking about back there? Any parents ever been in the car? And your kids are arguing in the back seat. What are you guys fighting about? Nothing. That's what's taking place. And then Jesus tells them again, whoever's going to be the greatest has to be the servant. And then another time, James and John comes to him. They're two brothers in Jesus' disciple group. And they come to him and say, hey, Jesus, when you sit on your place of honor, when your kingdom comes, can we sit on your right and your left? And Jesus tells them, you don't understand what you're asking. Then the other disciples get upset again because they're all talking about who's the greatest. I'm the greatest. Who's the greatest? You're the greatest. No, you're not. Just joking. I am. And so Jesus says, you don't understand. And he says, look, I didn't even come to be served. He said, I came to serve. As a matter of fact, I came to offer my life as a ransom for many. And he tells them this. He says, the world's leaders, they lord the influence over their people. And he says this, and I love this. He says, with you, it will be different. Say, it will be different. See, he says, with you, it will be different. See, for you and I as believers and as followers of Jesus, it has to be different with us. As followers of Jesus, we have a responsibility to follow in that same vein, in that same line, in that same teaching. If we're going to call ourselves believers, then guess what we have to do? What do we have to do? Serve. And here's what I love about Jesus is Jesus just doesn't talk it. You guys know people, they talk about what they're going to do, but then they never do it. Don't look around, okay? Don't look around. Just look right at me because I'm that guy, okay? We've all been that guy, right? We've all been that lady, but Jesus was never that. So go to John chapter 13. And I've read this verse and taught this verse multiple times. And John chapter 13, this is Jesus' last night with his disciples. And it's the Last Supper before the Passover. And I'm going to read a couple of passages here. And we'll kind of jump around. It's before the Passover celebration. And just in case you don't know what the Passover celebration is, the Passover is celebrating the angel of death that passed over all the children of Israel's homes when they were exiling and leaving Egypt. So every year they're celebrating what God has done. And so this is Jesus' last Passover dinner with his disciples. And this is what happens. Verse 1, before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew his hour had come to leave this world and return to his Father. He had loved his disciples during this ministry on earth, and now he loved them to the very end. It was time for supper, and the devil had already prompted Judas, son of Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew the Father had given him authority and everything over everything, and that he had come from God and would return to God. So he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, and poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he had around them. And this has been preached on multiple times by multiple pastors. And one of the things you have to understand, the duty that Jesus is performing is meant for the lowest of the low servants. The lowest of the lowest servants were the ones who performed this. They would not even allow Jewish servants to perform this responsibility because it was the lowest of the low. And so here is the leader of the pack, and they're all sitting around the table. Guess what they're probably talking about? Who's the greatest? Because that's all the disciples do. They're talking around, walking around, who's the greatest? And so Jesus has realized that no one was placed at the door when they came in to wash the feet of those who came in. And the tables weren't tall like they are today. The tables were low to the ground. So guess what your feet were close to? The table. How many of you were told not to put your feet on the table? Right? Well, the disciples were pretty close to putting their feet on the table. But the feet were not clean. They didn't drive around. They walked around. And they were stepping in whatever the animals were putting out, if you know what I'm saying, right? And if it rained, there wasn't sidewalks, there were dirt walks. There wasn't asphalt, it was dirt roads. And so their feet were covered in dirt and mud and dust and whatever. And they're sitting around talking about who's the greatest, and Jesus is just like, you know what? I'm going to show them what I've been telling them. And so he gets up from the table, and so I wonder who was the first one to notice. Like, have you ever not noticed when somebody leaves the table, right? Because they're quiet, and they leave, and they come back, and they're like, where did you go? I didn't know you left. And so Jesus gets up. And so just imagine, this is Jesus. He's the leader of the group, and he gets up, and he goes over in a corner, and he starts taking off his shirt, his robe. Now, I'm not going to do that. That'd get real awkward, okay? You guys don't want to see what's underneath, trust me. All right, when your two-year-old says, ooh, I'm not going to do that to you guys. But just imagine the disciples. Just imagine, here's their leader. Here's their leader disrobing and then wrapping a towel around his waist. And then he bends down and he begins to wash their feet. And Peter immediately says, no, you know what? I should be washing your feet. And so then they go into this whole dialogue, and Jesus goes around. And then we're going to pick back up in verse 12. And it says, after washing their feet, he put on his robe again and sat down and asked, do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you were right because that is what I am. But since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I've given you an example to follow. Do as I've done to you. And so Jesus is saying, look, here's the final illustration that I'm giving you that I want you to live out. I want you to be a servant. I don't want you just to be any servant. I want you to take the lowest place that you can to serve people. And when you go back and read the top of that, here's what Jesus knew. Jesus knew that his time was coming, that his ministry was up. Jesus knew that he'd been given all authority and all power from God to him. He could do anything. Jesus knew that he loved his disciples, and it says that he loved them till the very end, but some translation says that he now showed the greatest extent of his love by getting down and washing their feet. And see, here's what you have to understand. He knew that to make a difference and make an impact in their life, he had to take the place of a servant. He had to pick up a towel. Your first couple of fill-ins there, and this is coming directly from Pastor. This isn't mine. Okay, in order to live a life of significance, it's about a towel, not a title. It's about a towel, not a title. See, you and I, we have this mindset that in order to make a difference, in order to see something change, we have to be given a title with some authority before I can ever do anything. That if I'm going to make a difference on my job, I have to be given a position of authority with a title so people will listen to me. If I'm going to do anything within the church or within the community, I have to be elected or be placed into a place of authority and given a title before I can make anything happen. Here's what Jesus did. He gave up his title. He gave up his authority so that he could make something happen. And so the way you and I have to come to this place is we don't need a title. We don't need authority. All we need is a towel. And a towel is a very common thing. You can get them for less than a dollar at the dollar store. And it's used and it's thrown away, but have you ever needed a towel and couldn't find one? And you're trying to use a paper towel and there's a spill and all that paper towel does is just move the water around. It doesn't do anything. But see, a towel is very efficient when we need it, but we think that we need something much more than a towel. And so Jesus says this. He says, I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done. So here's what you and I have to come to an understanding that when it comes to serving and picking up our towels, and you may be here today and it's like, well, you know I can serve, but I don't know how to. I don't know what I'm capable of. I don't know if I have permission to. Well, guess what? We are giving you full on permission to serve in any capacity today. Whether it's in this house or beyond these walls, you've been given full permission. And here's what you have to understand is the first thing is each one of us has something to offer. Each one of us has something to offer. You may be here today and last week was your first Sunday at church and you got saved for the first time yesterday or last week and you're thinking, well, I'm a new Christian. I don't really have anything to offer. That's the enemy lying to you. See, the moment you're saved, there's all these gifts that are on the inside of you that were there just waiting to be activated. You've already been using them to some potential, but once you link up with the one who created you, that potential goes to a whole nother level if you operate in it. See, here's what you have to know. All of us have been gifted to serve. Each and every single one of us have been gifted to serve. Young and old, new Christian, seasoned saint, okay, city folk, hick folk, white folk, black folk, Hispanic, it doesn't matter. We've all been gifted to serve. And so here's what we have to do. You guys have to, we have to come to a place to where we find out what that gift is. And so I'm going to give you a few things to help you find out what that gift is. And the first thing you have to do, it's real simple, pray. It's like, I don't know. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I don't know what I'm capable of. Well, hey, talk to the one who made you. All right, when I don't know how something works, I go back to the instruction manual most of the time. I'm a guy, right? We don't always, most of the time, after my wife tells me, did you read the instruction manual? No, and if that doesn't work, then you call a 1-800 number to talk to the ones who created it. Well, guess what? We don't have to wait. Have you guys ever called those 1-800 numbers to try to get some information, and it's a 5-minute conversation for a 45-minute wait? If you want to speak to this person, push 1. I just hit 0 over and over and over and over until somebody picks up, right? We don't have to do that. We get a direct line to the one who made us. And we get to say, hey, why'd you make me for? What am I good at? Begin to ask him. And as you do that, he'll begin to reveal that in different ways. And he does that through reading God's word, all right? Reading God's word, studying the word. studying the Word, reading the Word, as you see that, things will begin to show up. And this is an easy one. Just ask people. Ask people what they see in you. Ask people what they see in you, what they see you doing, what they see you excited about, what they see you excelling in. And then the last thing, hey, just try something. Just try it. Just try it. And I know that can be scary. And you're like, well, what if I mess up? What if I fail? There's another side of that coin. Guess what? What if I succeed? And here's a couple things that you can do that's not in your notes. What do you get excited about doing? What do you get excited? What brings you joy to do? Because as you do that, guess what? That's something God's gifted you. And then what do you succeed in? Because God's not going to allow you to do something you're not going to succeed in, right? So he's going to gift you for something. So ask somebody, try it. And then today at 11 o'clock, guess what? In Growth Track 301, you get to take a spiritual gifting survey to find out what your spiritual gifting is. And let me tell you this, it's not just teaching. It's not just preaching. People think, well, I could never do anything in the church. I can't sing. I can't sing either. I sing in the shower and cold water just comes rushing over the top. I'm not allowed to even sing in the shower. When you see me up here and my mouth is moving, I'm Milli Vanilli in it. Like, I'm lip syncing because the minute I start singing, Holy Spirit's like, nope, I can't. Nope, stop it. We all have different giftings, okay? And let me tell you this, don't envy someone else's gift. Okay, don't envy someone else's gift. God's gift, there's the gift of craftsmanship. If you like working with your hands, that's a spiritual gift. If you like having people over at your house and you keep a clean home, that's the gift of hospitality and cleanliness. I'll just say that. Because here's my lowest spiritual gift. When I took those spiritual gift surveys and my highest was encouraging and leadership was like 2 or 3 and teaching was up there, you know what my lowest was? And I think I've said this, I forget. It was intercessory prayer. You don't have to be silent. It's like, oh, that's horrible. He's a pastor. No, here's the thing. I pray, but I just can't pray and pray and pray and pray. I'm going to pray, and I believe God's going to answer it. Like, we sold a piece of property because Ron and I drove past it. I was like, Jesus, just let this property sell. The next day, pastor came in and said, guys, we sold that property. It's like, I'm a Baptist, and I can pray, and God answers, right? And so don't envy someone else's gift, but find out what yours is because you have something to offer, okay? And so here's the next thing we have to understand. Our service begins where we are. Our service begins where we are. You don't have to go to the other end of the world to, guess what? God wants to use you right here. He wants to use you right here. God has an assignment for your life. Sorry, I muted it. I don't want to scare you guys. God has an assignment for your life. And he's starting you out, guess what? Where you are. He's starting you out where you are. You're going to start there, and you're going to work your way through the assignment, just like in school. You start at number one, and then you work your way down. We've all done those trick quizzes where the teacher says, make sure you read the directions and read all the questions, and you start, and you're just going through. You don't read all the questions, and you get to, like, number 4, and it says, don't answer anything. Just put your name on it and turn it in. But because you didn't follow the assignment, you failed the assignment, right? So you have to start where you're at and be okay with that. Be faithful where you are. Be faithful where you are. We all love the story of David and Goliath, right? We love that David showed up just in the nick of time while all the army was scared in their tents, and this giant is taunting the army of Israel. And so David shows up, and he goes out, and he slings the rock and kills the giant. Do you know how David got to the giant in the first place? He was running errands. While his brothers were all fighting battle, he was at home watching sheep and doing chores. And then his dad said, hey, I need you to take your brothers and the commanders some lunch, right? Take them some lunch. And so because David was faithful where he was at, he was able to position himself where he was supposed to be for his greatest victory. So some of you are worrying about getting somewhere else when God's placed you right here or wherever so that you can be faithful here. Before the disciples became fishers of men, guess what? They were faithful fishermen, day in and day out. And so be faithful where you're found, and see, love those God has placed around you. Love those God has placed around you. Think about this. In Mark, Jesus heals a demoniac, and this guy's lived in the cemetery, and they couldn't chain him, and Jesus heals him. And the demoniac says, you know, after he's been healed, he says, Jesus, let me come and travel with you so I can tell everybody what you've done in my life. Jesus says, no, here's what I want you to do. Go back to your hometown, to your family and your loved ones, and tell them. That's where we start, with those that God's already placed around us, because those are the ones that we have the most influence on right now. So start where you're at right now. The third thing is this, is there are no perfect people. No perfect people. Doesn't matter what you did last week, it's covered. The gifts that God has given you are not based on merit, but it's based on His grace, and that alone. As a matter of fact, go to Romans chapter 12, and I didn't tell the screen folks that this was going to be on the screen, so you just have to follow along. Romans chapter 12, verse 6, it says, in His grace, say His grace. In His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as been given you. If your gift is serving, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach them well. If your gift is encouraging, be encouraging. If it's giving, give generously. If God has given you the leadership ability, take that responsibility seriously. If God has given you the gift for showing kindness, do it gladly. But it's not because you and I deserve anything. You know, I look back at my life, and I'm not perfect by any means, but I wasn't like the worst of the worst. I was somewhere kind of in between, which is actually the most dangerous place to be. Really? And I've got flaws just like everybody else, and I think, God, how am I being used? It's not because of anything I've done, but it's because of everything that He's done. And it's out of His gifts and out of His strength that I'm able to do this, as are you. So don't feel guilty, don't feel shameful that you never can or I never will, because Jesus has already taken care of that because. And He's gifted you exactly where you're at. Serving is a lifelong journey. Serving is a lifelong journey. I'm not who I used to be, thank goodness. But I'm not who I'm going to be. And I know that as I walk in my gifting, that I'm going to grow. Man, I go back and I listen to some of my first sermons when I first started talking to teenagers 12 years ago. I don't know how anybody ever gave me a microphone. I said some things. I was like, nah, but here, you know what? I was willing, and I'm growing. And the same as where you're at, if you be willing and you be available, God will grow you, because serving is a lifelong journey. And I love this one. See, in my weakness, guess what He is? He's strong. He's strong. And my weakest point is actually when I'm at my strongest point. And in all my flaws and in all my frustrations, God strengthens me. And, you know, there are some things that I wrestle with, guys, on a daily basis that some are character issues, and then some are things that I think about that are just personality flaws. Like, I can't keep up with anything. Like, it is just embarrassing. I lost my passport in Costa Rica. I lost my cell phone in Costa Rica. I lost a kid once on a youth trip. You know, I've lost keys all my life. So here's what I have. I have one key. And it stays right here in this little pocket unless I go to use it. And then sometimes I forget and I leave it in the door and walk away. But in my weaknesses, God strengthens me, right? Regardless of your flaws, regardless of your weaknesses, God operates in those, all right? Number four, I have a unique fit in the house that I'm in. I have a unique fit. You have a unique fit. You're here for a reason. Maybe you went through Growth Track 3 years ago and you're just sitting here and still like, what am I supposed to be here for? Well, you've been here for 3 years. There's a reason. Or you would have already went somewhere else. We've got to help you find that. You've got to help us help you find that fit, because you're here for a reason, because God assigned your place. God assigns. The Holy Spirit leads us where we're supposed to be, right? And Paul says this in Acts. He says he sets the boundaries of our lives. He knows when we're going to be born, when we're going to die, where we're going to live, where we're going to go to church. And he sets that up and he orchestrates that, because here's why. He knows the need of that house. He knows the need of that house. And so you're bringing a gift that I don't have, that some of the other staff doesn't have, that some other people that's sitting, you're bringing a gift that they don't have, because we need it here. And then once you get here, you got to understand God is the one that uses your gifts. It operates here, but God ultimately uses it. And so when I first got here, I really kind of had a hard time finding my fit. And you know, being a youth pastor for 9 or 10 years and, you know, trying to transition now, working with adults all the time, it's like, am I cut out for this? I'm still kind of immature. And so I had a hard time finding my fit and was doing the young adult thing for a while. And then quickly, pastor was like, I need you as an associate running day-to-day activities and, you know, over the staff and finances and building and all that. And so I had to grow up really quick. And then pastor needed me as the campus pastor in Adamsville. So I had to go back there. And now I'm back here as an associate and I'm overseeing the children's ministry with my wife. And so I'm like, okay, my fit is, I'm just the guy that's going to do anything. And here's what I know. A pastor can trust me. And I'm really good with people. And so here's what you have to do. You have to look at what your giftings and what your strengths are and then find your fit and be okay with that. Okay? Is that good? Is that okay? All right, and let's go to number five. Let's go to this. Serving, and this is really the most important. Serving keeps me focused on the important. Serving keeps me focused on the important. And I said this last week, and I'll say it again. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about those that are not here that need a relationship with Christ, that need the gift that you have, because we have to understand this. Okay, Jesus said, he said this. He says, I came not to be served. I came not to be served. We have to have that same mindset. Paul says, have the same attitude of Christ. We're not here to be served. We're here to be a service. Why? Because this, the next feeling is B, people are hurting. People are hurting. They're hurt from their past. They're hurt from when they were a kid. They're hurt from yesterday. They're hurt from the relationships that they're in. They're hurt because their children are hurting. They're hurt because their family is hurting. They're hurting. When Jesus at one point turned when he was with the disciples and he saw the crowd, and we look out, and sometimes we just see the crowd, but Jesus didn't just see the crowd. Jesus saw their hearts, and he said they're like lost sheep, confused without a shepherd. We have to get to that mindset where we can see people as Jesus sees them and understand that they're hurting and understand this, that people need what I have. People need what I have. People need what you have. There are people in your life that need what you have but don't need what I have. And so you have to operate in your gifting and not rely on me or Pastor Eddie or any of the other staff. Use your gifting. And remember that it's all about people. It's all about people. Yesterday, this past weekend, we did kind of some team building stuff with some of our leaders, and we spent yesterday morning and talking about why some of the folks in this house are serving. And what I found out is listening to some of them is that they're serving in this house and they serve others because they were hurting when they got here and they were served and they want to pay it forward. See, we have an obligation that once God has done a work in our life, we have an obligation, guys. Those of us who are believers and followers, we have an obligation to pay that forward and to serve those. And we can get really selfish. We can get really selfish when we serve and we don't get the feedback or the accolades like we think we're supposed to have. I shared this story a couple of years ago, and I'll share it again in case you forgot. The first missions trip I ever took my teenagers on as a youth group, we went to Monroe, Louisiana, where it's 116 degrees in July. Great idea. Wonderful idea. And my wife, we had just found out that Jennifer was pregnant with our first child, and so she's having a, and so our, like, we were so excited. We were going to go in, and we were going to help people, and we show up, and they're like, hey, there's a park over there, and the grass is really grown up, so we're going to have the city. They're going to come in, and they're going to bush hog it, and we're like, awesome, then what? And you're going to take rakes and garbage bags, and you're going to rake up all the grass. wasn't really what I was looking forward to doing. I wanted to have Bible studies and win people to Jesus. No, you're going to rake up some grass. In 114-degree weather in Monroe, Louisiana. So we did it. We spent 3 days raking grass. And then we found there was a basketball court under all that grass. So we put up a basketball goal, and at the end of the week, we decided to have a cookout for the kids in the neighborhood. And we were going to have kickball and basketball and water balloons and grill hot dogs and hamburgers. And so, man, we had a big party. We were excited about that because we're going to get to minister to people. And so we're hanging out, playing games, and then afterwards, all the kids go home. And all the families go home. And they didn't throw any garbage in any of the garbage cans. Guess where they threw it? All over the ground. And so the folks who were over the camp were like, all right, guys, we got one more thing we got to do. All right, we got to go back and we got to clean up this park and so that it's ready for the neighborhood and the family. And I'm just like, what? And so I get my garbage bag and me and God's having a conversation. And I'm like, they just don't appreciate what I've done. And so there's orange peels and there's busted, like, water balloon fights are the worst, right? Because the little balloon shards are just everywhere. And so we're having to put that, and I'm mad because my kids and I, we paid money to go down and rake grass. Right? We paid money to do that. We pay people to do that, but we paid so we can do that. And so I'm having this conversation with God, just how unappreciative these people are that we cleaned up this park and they've just destroyed it. And he dropped in my spirit and he said, how many times have I cleaned up your life and you just destroy it? All right. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. This is just... And so I'm just like, man, I filled up like 5 bags, you know, as a reminder. And so, because here's what happens. People are going to make a mess. And if we're looking for them to give us accolades, we're going to miss it. But that's why we have to stay focused on why we do this. It's not for us. It's for others. So how do we do this? Pastor always give you guys some real practical things on picking up your towels. The first thing you have to do is you have to find and develop your gift. You have to find it. And then this, you have to develop it. And a lot of times we use this whole adage, well, either use it or what? Yeah. Well, in this case, that's not the truth, right? Because our God doesn't take away what he gives us. It says that he does not rebuke the gifts. But what happens is if we don't develop it, it never reaches the potential and we never make the difference that we were created to make. See, that's up to us. God just sets all the pieces in the place. We have to play them the way they're supposed to be played. Does that make sense? We have to develop it. So as you discover your gift, make sure you find time to develop it. And then within this house, to be able to use that gift, we encourage you week in and week out, be a part of an iServe team. Be a part of an iServe team. And whether it's as simple as opening a door, and you may think that's so simple, but guys, people go through all kinds of hell sometimes just to get here on a Sunday morning. The saved and the unsaved. The kids don't want to wake up. The car doesn't want to start. Couples are arguing. You're hurt from something that was said last night or last week. And so you're doing much more than open a door. You're doing much more than changing diapers. You're changing destinies. You've heard us say this. And so I want to encourage you. Like, you can do lots of great things out there, and we encourage that. We encourage that because there's so much ministry that takes place outside these walls. But there's so much that takes place inside these walls that you need to be a part of, and God's gifted you to do that. And this last one, serve out of passion. Serve out of passion. And as I read that, I'm reminded of when Jesus, at the beginning of his ministry, he went into the temple, and all the money exchangers and all the salesmen, it was almost like a flea market. You guys ever been to a flea market? We had one in Crump. And that's the only thing in Crump. And they used to sell Tommy Hilfiger, and we called it Tommy Hilltop because it was on top of a hill, but it wasn't real stuff, right? But you'd go there and pay $6 for it because you didn't want to pay $40 for it at the store. But it was set up, and so in my mind, I'm seeing, like, Jesus is walking into his temple, and it's like a flea market. They're selling sacrifices and exchanging money, and so he just goes through. He goes home, makes a whip, and then comes back. And that's bad, right? When you go home to get the belt, right? Dad says, son, go get my belt. Man, that's a long walk, right? But Jesus goes home and gets his belt, and he's flipping over tables, and he's running out the money exchangers. And the disciple says this. The disciple said, they're reminded of a passage from Psalms. It says, the passion for your temple consumes you. And see, that's where you and I are supposed to lead out of and supposed to serve out of our passion. Because when you serve out of your passion, that's what motivates you. If you're serving for a t-shirt, that t-shirt's going to get holes in it and it's going to get armpit stains, right? But as you are serving out of your passion, the Holy Spirit just keeps fanning the flame of that passion. Because you're seeing lives changed, you're seeing people that you're helping, you're seeing the difference that you're making, and you just want to do it more. You want to see that light bulb go off. That's what it is for me. I love speaking because I love looking at your eyes, and I love seeing that light bulb go off, and the Holy Spirit speaking something inside of you. And that's where we have to get to, that we serve out of a place of passion. Because that's what our Savior did. And so if you're here today and you don't know Christ, let me just let you know that our Savior Jesus Christ, he served out of the greatest capacity of passion that is imaginable on any means. And Scripture says in Hebrews, it says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. His passion was you. His passion was knowing that every pain that he was going to experience, every drop of blood that he was going to shed, that act of service was to bring you back in relationship with the Father. And so no matter how far you've wandered, no matter how far you've walked away, maybe you've never been in a relationship with him, let me tell you, he's went to every strength. He's taken every stride to ensure that pathway is cleared out for you. And all you have to do is just accept that.